Greetings and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, October 20th, 2014. I am Dave Hamilton. I am not Jeff Gamet. And with me today, I have just but one guest, Adam Christensen. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. So Adam and I were probably the two that we would have least expected to be on this show today because we were knee deep in some TMO programming stuff this morning and hope to return to that this afternoon. But Jeff is traveling. Brian is, he has no microphone stand because he's moving and his microphone stands at his old house. Bob is doing what?
A car inspection.
That's right. Car inspection. John Martellaro has some sort of appointment and Kelly is fast asleep. Because she was up very early and up very late, evidently doing all the news for us here at TMO. So we get to talk about the news that everyone else has worked so very hard to write.
Yep.
Adam, are you a streaming music user at your house?
I am unfortunately not.
Okay.
I played around with Beats, you know, on the subscription when I could get it from AT&T for like 90 days or something like that.
The whole
family plan. I listen to streaming music, but I am totally just iTunes radio at this point.
Okay, well, that's streaming music too. I mean, it is music that is streaming to you.
Yeah, and I use iTunes Match, so I guess I do actually only really stream my music, but it's all Apple. I'm all in the Apple universe. I'm not using any of the third party stuff. I've tried it. You know, I did Pandora for a while and stuff like that, but I keep falling back into the fold.
Well, today Spotify finally announced, and I think it's appropriate to say finally, because we've wanted this for so long, they finally announced their family plan pricing. And that is something that many of us have wanted for a long time, because there was no easy way for the family to have a Spotify plan, And sharing a Spotify account, which is actually what we do in our house now, mm-hmm. Adam, is a horrible experience because it will start, like if my daughter is out and about playing Spotify on her phone and I launch Spotify on my phone, it'll actually offer to let me control Spotify on her phone.
Oh, great.
So this is not a good thing.
Sure, she loves that.
Yeah, and if we start Spotify on the Sonos in the house, on the Sonos it actually works well because you can play three different Spotify streams simultaneously in the house. So there it works totally fine because we rarely would want more than three going. In fact, I don't think we ever have. But if I start playing it on the house while somebody's playing it on mobile, it stops them and they get a little message saying somebody else has started it up. And then you can play these battles going back and forth. And so, you know, we put Spotify in offline mode. We deny cellular data to it. I mean, all this stuff really, we'd be happy to pay another $5 a month like Beats does, you know, to charge us $15 if you're an AT&T customer.
Right.
To have a plan. And we tried the Beats plan and Beats sucks.
Beats is just such a different animal. You know, I don't know. It didn't click with me. You know, I tried to use it. I liked some of the tricky things you could do with a little, you know, what kind of mood am I in sort of stuff. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, for how I listen, it just didn't work for me either.
Yeah, we hated Beats in our house. The song selection was not exactly right for us. The UI of their app is horrendous.
Oh, it's really tough to get through.
Yeah, but it did work with Sonos. And so, you know, we had it. So Spotify comes out with their pricing. It's $10 a month what they didn't do is they didn't create a family plan on their back end. They created a family plan in their billing system only.
Pricing.
Right. Pricing only. And the way that it works is, it's $10 just like you normally pay for Spotify Premium for the first account. And then if you're in a family with others, you get a 50% discount on up to five more people added to your account. But everybody, you're not sharing an account. You're not sharing playlists. Everybody has their own account. But this gets really expensive. For my family of four, Beats was $15. It was just $15, right?
This is the old school cellular family plan, right? Where you would pay X for the first line and then Y for every other line.
That's exactly it. And so, you know, my plan had cost me $25 with four of us in the family. We'd pay $10 for the first and $5 each a month.
Better be listening to a lot of music.
Yeah. You know, what I'm starting to think though is I'm, and this is where my mind went. I had $15 budgeted in my head for whatever streaming family music service we had. And so I'm thinking maybe I can get away with buying one extra account, right? The $10 for one of them and then five sure. for another yeah. and give that one to my daughter and kind of have her segregated. But then the problem is, you know, we have one Spotify account signed in on Sonos, and that's the way it works. We can't sign in multiples. So now my daughter can't play her playlist in the house if we have ours. So it's, I don't know. Yeah. We may not even do it. We may just keep screwing them with $10. Yeah.
That's what we need. Not helpful.
It's not helpful. No, it's not. It's right. Right. We waited so long and now we get this. What we need is Apple to make Beats usable.
Yes. They have a huge opportunity, I think, to do it. I mean, hopefully they take that and I would love to see it merged in. And I think I mentioned this to you earlier. I'd love to see it merged into the iTunes radio stuff and have sort of an all-in-one service for people to listen however they want and for whatever mood they're in. Because sometimes I want to listen on demand to anything in my library, which is where, you know, currently for me, that's how I handle iTunes Music Match, right? I can get access to anything that I have, but I don't have the whole library like I would with Spotify. You know, I don't have the whole universe of iTunes.
Right.
Like I would with Spotify. So if they can bring that in and then add that onto radio, because sometimes I like the more iTunes Radio Pandora model. I just want to find some new stuff and I want you to figure out what that might be based on some of the other things that I like. So,
oh, that'd be awesome.
Right. And then once you have those two things together, you know, you have this great opportunity to, hey, I really like this song. Rather than now buying it, you know, I just want to throw this into my, you know, Beats iTunes playlist or whatever, you know, add it to this playlist sort of thing. So they could do a lot of really neat creative things with that. And I think make it a very appealing service to kind of both sides of the coin. Because I think a lot of people tend to say, oh, I'm a on-demand person or I'm a streaming person. But I think there's a lot of us that would like to kind of have the option of both. And I think a lot of people do use both. They use Spotify and Pandora or Spotify and iTunes Radio or whatever it might be.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, in the old days, like when we were kids, you know, and right. we got our first cars, you had a radio,
right?
And if you were lucky, you had a tape deck or maybe eventually a CD player, right? Uh-huh. And that's that same model, right? It's in fact exactly the same.
It is.
Sometimes yeah. I want to listen to what someone else describes as the right music for me based on some preference I made as to which station I tuned into. And sometimes I want to listen to, you know, the new Rush album or whatever it is. Right. And so you would go back and
right.
forth
and
or your favorite mixtape.
Yeah. I was going to say your playlists are like your mixtape at that point.
Yeah.
Then, right. And you,
exactly
and you might right. grab stuff from the radio. You might grab stuff from, you know, albums or cassettes or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So hopefully we've laid out the path for the future here and solved this problem, and Apple knows what they need to do. I have a feeling Apple already knew what they needed to do and are hard at work on it, or at least have it in the plan.
It sounds like they're trying to nail down pricing, you know, from a lot of the rumors that are out there right now, too, that I just saw some come across the stream this morning saying they're looking to target like a $5 a month price for a Beats-like service.
That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome. I don't know if that they can get there with the record label. So I think that's where they're fighting their battle right now, it sounds like.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, they could do it, too, by streaming you stuff. If they can show the labels that they're streaming you stuff that you've already bought in addition to stuff that you haven't yet bought.
Yep.
You know, you have permission to play things that you've already purchased. So... Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't have to pay royalties on the stuff if you if they can prove that you already own it via, say, iTunes Match or via your purchase history. See, this could get very interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. iOS 8.1 is due to come out probably within about 5 minutes of us publishing this podcast,
Thank
Adam.
Thank God. Thank God.
So
I hope. I don't know. I haven't been running the beta, so hopefully it
right.
fixes all my quirky issues, but
I haven't been running the beta. What quirky issues are you having, Adam?
The most annoying one has been Bluetooth. Although, you know, I hooked it up to my Bluetooth, you know, like JBL speaker the other day, and everything went fine. But it totally broke my automatic. Like, I cannot connect to that thing via Bluetooth for anything.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, and I've had a number of people email me and say, yeah, my Bluetooth speakers are totally gone with iOS 8. I can't connect. I can't do anything, or my headset doesn't work, or whatever it might be. So that's one of them. I'm also seeing a lot of Springboard. Is that what you call it when you see the white Apple logo and the whole thing goes down and you get the white Apple logo?
Yeah.
Springboard crashes. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot more of those than I did. Although I'm not convinced that's iOS 8. That may be me needing to restore on my phone. But I've just been getting lots of reports from folks with weird little issues. And it seems like, you know, they're significant, but they're also isolated to certain groups. And so it's kind of hard to pinpoint, you know, what is the problem other than it all seems to point back to when I upgraded to iOS 8, this started happening.
I have had no Bluetooth issues whatsoever, right, nor has anyone in my house. But I stopped using my automatic because it was forcing me to have location services on all the time and it was chewing up my 5S's battery. So I turned that off. It was setting up geofences and all that. So, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully that gets fixed. Have you upgraded to iCloud Drive yet, Adam?
It looks like I did unintentionally, yeah.
Okay.
I found out the other day because I went to launch Pages, which I don't work a ton in Pages. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I said, did I actually make this decision, you know, thinking that, oh, I don't use iCloud documents that much anyway, so this is okay, and eventually I'll get there. I don't think I did. I think somehow I must have, you know, when I was setting up one of my various iOS 8 devices, I probably tapped the wrong thing.
But yeah, because it is an all or nothing. Yeah.
So I launched Pages on my Mac and Mavericks, and it went, hey, your iCloud documents aren't here.
Right.
And I went, oh, that's nice.
Well, but now you can have Yosemite and go with that. Right. Have you used iCloud Photo Library yet?
No, and I don't know that I will, because I don't know that I want to pay for more storage.
Oh, right.
I mean, and in my family, our photo libraries are huge.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know. My wife's is, I'm sure, in the hundreds of, you know, gigabytes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I turned it on mine because I was one of the people that, you know, had the option to do so. And I finally turned it on this weekend, and it did solve a lot of that, you know, where are my pictures questions that we've seen with iOS 8. But hopefully, even if you don't want to turn on iCloud Photo Library, 8.1 returns the camera roll, which hopefully should get PhotoStream back in sync. When I have yet, you know, I have 1,000 photos in PhotoStream on my Mac and 189 in PhotoStream on my iOS devices.
You know, I got an email about that too. You know, somebody said, hey, my PhotoStream photos aren't going. And I said, well, they should be in your recent items. And they're like, well, they're not all there. Not all the same ones that are on my Mac are showing up on my iOS device.
Right.
And I guess I don't pay that close attention to mine. I didn't think I had that issue, but maybe I do and don't know it.
My daughter definitely had it on hers too. And turning off PhotoStream and turning it back on got more of them to come back, but not all of them to come back. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's a mess. Yeah. So hopefully 8.1 fixes that. And
it's the magic bullet release. It's just going to solve all of our problems.
And then it's going to give us Apple Pay.
That's today, right?
In theory,
I got to run around and find a place to buy something. Walgreens, I hear, is probably the spot.
The spot. Okay. Well, so here's something I learned, and some people have been told different things, but I'm pretty sure what I learned is right, but we're going to find out. And that is that you need to have the SIM that came with your iPhone 6 or 6 Plus in order to use Apple Pay. And more generally, it's that you need an NFC capable SIM to use Apple Pay. With AT&T anyway, there are two different types of SIMs. So I moved my 5S's SIM into my 6 Plus when I got it. And I happened to mention that to AT&T when I was doing something else, you know, shuffling other devices on the account. And they're like, oh, no, That's not going to work for you. I'm like, it works fine. They're like, yeah, you're not going to get Apple Pay though. I'm like, really? And they say, yeah, you need an NFC capable SIM. So, you know, you can tell by looking at it, the SIMs are blue and orange if you are the old style. And I believe they're blue and white if you have the NFC capable SIM. And you'll have to go to your AT&T store and have them swap it out for you. But ask them if they have NFC capable SIMs in stock before you wait in line. Because I waited 45 minutes one day and then they're like, oh yeah, we don't have them. Like, are you freaking kidding me? But anyway, you know, it's how it goes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I swapped SIMs.
Yep. Well, then you might have a trip to the Apple store, or maybe you'll be our test subject and you'll find out if Apple Pay works without an NFC capable SIM in your phone.
I probably should try it first and then.
Yeah, you might as well.
Yeah. If I can find a place that'll take it, that's going to be the trick.
I think that will be harder than getting a new SIM. That's right.
Because everybody needs new terminals, right? But I think I had read somewhere that Walgreens was supposedly ahead of the curve. I don't know about McDonald's, though, and all these others.
Do they need new terminals just for Apple Pay, or do they need just any NFC capable terminal will do? Yeah, I thought it was the latter.
It wasn't clear. You would think it would be the latter, right? Which would be why they went with NFC, because then they wouldn't have to. They got a lot of terminals out there already with it in there. So I don't know. Maybe McDonald's is the place to try too, because they're supposedly on board.
One last question I'm going to throw out before we wrap things up here. We've been talking about NFC and it's used for Apple Pay, but as Android users know, NFC can also be used for audio and many other things. Have you heard anything about Apple using the NFC circuitry in these phones for more than just Apple Pay?
I thought that came up after the event.
Yep.
And it was asked, and I seem to remember hearing somewhere that they said, no, it is Apple Pay only.
Okay.
And it wasn't clear if that meant forever or just at this moment.
Right.
And I think it may have been a developer thing where developers were sort of asking and they were just saying, no, you know, I don't think developers can leverage the NFC. So it may just be Apple sort of firewalling it off and saying, look, no, this is our chip. This is our Apple Pay system.
Stay out.
For now. Yeah. And we've seen them do this a million times, right? Touch ID, you know, there's all kinds of technologies they put in and they sort of keep them, you know, close to the chest at first and then open them up later. So.
Yep. All right. Well, that will do it for today. Thank you for making yourself available, Adam. And I look forward to hearing how this show goes. I also look forward to whatever we can solve this afternoon with our programming endeavors.
Yep.
All right, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.